What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as usual by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. Wow. Just wow. The Bucks go into Chicago against a quarterback who had 9 touchdown passes in 15 career games, and they let him throw 6 more touchdown passes against them. To help us get through this grieving process, we are joined by fellow Bucks Nation member Bailey Adams. Bailey, I already know the answer to this, but how you doing?
I've been better.
Yeah. So the big topic of conversation, you know, it's funny, David, we get away from the Jameis Winston talk. The Winston suspension is over. The speculation is pretty much squashed. He came out, played pretty well in the second half, given the circumstances. Now we're going to have speculation over the course of at least the next couple shows of whether Mike Smith should or should not keep his job. I know we're going to dive into that a little bit more later in the week, but we'll go ahead and we'll start with you and then kick it over to Bailey. What was your what's kind of your overall initial reaction to the complete crap fest that was the Buccaneers on Sunday?
They simply just didn't look prepared. They didn't look like they understood what they were going to face in the Chicago Bears. They just never changed. It's the same thing we talked about last year, to be quite honest with you. It's all about coaching. It's all about strategy and being able to adjust your strategy when what you expect to see isn't what you actually get, because there's absolutely nothing that the Buccaneers tried to do against the Bears worked. Like they couldn't contain Tariq Cohen. They couldn't stay with the receivers. And I mean, these aren't Pro Bowlers out here. Like Tariq Cohen, if he's going to be a Pro Bowler, it's most likely going to be as a special teams guy. And that's very much a possibility. But the way he played today, you would think that he's just tearing up the league, and that's just not the case.
You think he's Alvin Kamara?
Yeah. I mean, granted, like I think Cohen is better than what his stats read. And I think that the Bears, I actually wrote on the site earlier this week that I don't think the Bears have been using him properly. But I mean, the Chicago Bears are a team. I got it. They were 2-1 coming in, right? But if you actually watch what the Bears have been doing, they barely beat the Green Bay Packers despite getting a full, you know, two or three drives of Deshaun Kizer trying to give away the game. They pulled out the turnover. That's what I'm saying. They barely beat them. They kept it close, right? But okay. They should have lost by more is basically what I'm getting at. The talent comparison between the Packers and the Bears does not match the score differential in that one loss that they have, right? They beat the Seahawks in what I've dubbed Turnover Bowl 2018. Neither team should have won that game, to be quite honest with you. They beat an Arizona Cardinals team who, I don't know. I mean, maybe David Johnson gets going. Larry Fitzgerald looks like he's definitely on the last bit of whatever tread he's got left, as sad as that is to say. I mean, this is a Bears team that was 2-1. I've heard all kinds of crap from Bears fans leading up to this game about the defense. And I know I'm not saying the defense is bad by any means, but this defense is not as good as their stats right now are making them out to be. They played two teams that are probably going to be picking in the top 10 in the NFL draft next year, and a Packers team who had to feature Deshaun Kizer for a quarter, who, like I said, was doing everything he could to make sure Aaron Rodgers could not come back in that game. It's just ridiculous. And even coming out of the locker room, there just wasn't enough adjustment from the Buccaneers side of the ball or side of the field to really inspire any type of confidence in the coaching staff moving forward.
Bailey, how about you? What's kind of your initial and overall reaction to a 48-10 drubbing in Chicago?
You know, I had a very similar thought. I watched the first half by myself, and then a couple buddies made their way over and watched the rest with me. And I think I made the comment, I was saying, like, how are you an NFL team? How are you still an NFL team? Like, you look this unprepared. Like, I just don't understand how it happens. Like, you pretty much know what the Bears are going to throw at you on defense. Their offense is nothing special at all. And they just looked outmatched, and they're just not The Bears are not that much better than the Bucks, and I don't understand what happened out there. The Bucks didn't look prepared. And another thing I kind of took away was the offense looked scared. And I think I said it in our Bucks Nation group chat. Fitzpatrick was playing scared for like the first, I mean, I guess the whole time he played, it was like they got in their own heads with what they were facing against, especially Khalil Mack. I think they were so focused on, oh, we got Khalil Mack coming at us that, you know, that allowed the rest of the defense to take advantage of it. And then also, I mean, it's Khalil Mack. So he was still able, even as much as they wanted to focus on him, he was still able to get in the backfield and cause disruption. So I think they both looked unprepared, and also I think they looked a little scared. I think they were in their own heads. They came out and, I mean, they deferred to the second half, thinking, I guess, that their defense could get them a stop because, again, the Bears' offense is not very good. And the defense doesn't get a stop. The offense goes a quick three and out. And from there, I think they were like, uh-oh, what do we do now? But it was just they looked unprepared. They could never bounce back. I think they got punched in the mouth early. And then as soon as that happened, they were like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, to kind of echo what both of you were saying, something that I had mentioned on Twitter was Fitzpatrick, he was getting pressure in his face from the get-go. And there were a couple of opportunities where he had time. He had a clean pocket. And on those opportunities, he was sailing passes. And it was almost like he had too much time and was kind of forcing passes out of sheer surprise that he was still standing upright. And I give all the credit in the world to the Bears, you know, pass rush. And I'm still not sold on their secondary. You know, it's their pass rush that makes their secondary look so good, but there's just absolutely no excuse. There's no defense. There's nothing that anyone can say. I don't care how smart they think they are. There is nothing anyone can say to excuse what Mike Smith did with this defense against Mitchell Trubisky. None. It's indefensible. It's inexcusable. As you both said, they looked ill-prepared. They made no adjustments. The only shining light on this entire defense the entire day was the fact that Jason Pierre-Paul is still a beast. And when he was still getting after it, and he was still getting sacks, and he was still getting pressure, and the rest of the team was sitting on their hands, and then they go over to the sideline, and he chews them all out, and we saw a little bit of fire out of Quan Alexander on the following drive, but I don't care. I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm sick of hearing it's a young secondary. I'm sick of hearing, you know, it's rookies here and second-year guys there. I'm tired of it. There is no excuse for Mitchell Trubisky to look the way he did. Almost a perfect passer rating when he had, through 15 games in his career, more interceptions than touchdowns. It was pathetic. I'm at a loss right now.
Yeah, I mean, the only pass I really saw that Trubisky made, which was kind of out of character in a good way for him and a bad way for the Bucks, was the early touchdown pass to Allen Robinson. Like he really hasn't been good in the outside quarters of the field. And I mean, that ball was placed pretty much perfectly. I mean, MJ Stewart didn't have the best, you know, I guess possible coverage position you could have for that route, but he was there. That was a pretty good contest by him. You know, Trubisky just dropped it in exactly where he needed it to. But other than that, I mean, I sent it to, I think I tweeted it out. I don't know. An early tweet where, you know, even a wounded duck can land in an empty pond. I mean, and that's pretty much what Trubisky was throwing at was open, just wide open spaces. There was a pass. I want to say it was mid second quarter. You know, again, the thing I wrote ahead of the game on BucksNation.com where, you know, I mentioned down these deep routes, if these defenders have a receiver taking them deeper than 15, 20 yards, they need to have their eyes open because Trubisky routinely underthrows those routes. And I even included a picture of Shaquille Griffin in Turnover Bowl 2018 intercepting one of those underthrown routes. And it happened. It almost hit the defender in the back of the head because it was so underthrown, but because the defender didn't have his head turned around, that he wasn't able to make a play on it. I can't remember who it was, but that just kind of shows you that they're not, was it MJ? Just shows you these players, they either weren't aware of the potential for Mitchell Trubisky to underthrow those routes, or they weren't playing with discipline. Either way, it's a coaching problem because when your players routinely have such a lack of discipline on one side of the ball, it's a coaching problem. You're not, these players aren't being held accountable. You know, the other frustrating thing about this system, and it's always been frustrating, it's one of the problems TJ Ward had with it, and is the communication factor of this defense. So much of the success of Mike Smith's defense relies on those players communicating with each other, and all, I wouldn't say 11, but at least five of the 11 players playing in coverage all seeing the same thing. If even one guy sees something that the rest of them don't see, your coverage is busted. And this is, I didn't actually sit down and count it, but just off the top of my head, this is at least the third different secondary group that this defense has played with this year, correct? Like starting defensive group. Because you have Brent Grimes out in the beginning of the season. Right. When he came back, VH3 was out. So there's two. And now you have, I just blanked on his name, Isaiah Johnson, right, starting in place of Chris Conte. So this is at least three, and I don't know, maybe that fourth one in Pittsburgh was even different. So
I was going to say week two was different because you lost Hargraves. Hargraves was out during the Saints game. So now
Grimes came back in week three, right?
Right, yeah, Grimes came back. So you lost Ryan Smith after week two to Brent Grimes. Yep. Then you lose Conte to bring in Whitehead, who then goes out for, I mean, it's a carousel.
Yeah. So this is the fourth different secondary group this team has played with in as many games. And still, we're relying on this system that demands. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't lean on, it doesn't kind of hinge. It demands in a critical way that this defense communicates and they all see the same things. And we've got guys who it's their first year in the system. We got guys who it's their first year in the league, and it's obviously not working. And again, where's the adjustment? And I know Coach Cutter said that they were getting beaten zone and they were getting beaten man. And I saw that too. They got beaten man a couple times too, but you're getting beaten man a lot less often and with much less consequence than you were in zone. Every single one of those early big throws came against zone coverage, and it was always a player misreading what was happening and making the wrong decision.
The lack of adjustments is what kills me, because I think, I don't know how many times we've said, even when they're playing man, they're playing 10 yards off the receiver. And I don't know how many times we've said in the past, what is it, 2 or 3 years now, when are they going to stop playing 10 yards off the receiver? And I guess the answer is they're never going to stop doing that, which is why Mike Smith's not going to have a job for very long.
Although I hope you're right, at the same time, I think you're going to be wrong, because we may be seeing another, you know, Lovey Smith style issue where Cutter might be loyal to a fault. But, you know, Cutter's got to know that his butt is just as close to the flame as Mike Smith's is if this season doesn't go well. And Jason Light wouldn't be too far behind, although I think he deserves the absolute least of the blame. But before we move on, you know, I do have to mention the fact that, you know, I went 1 for 2 in my little predictions there. I told everybody to hammer the over, but I also said take the Bucks +3, which that didn't work very well. But if you think you know how these games are going to turn out a little bit better than I do, then you need to check out our friends over at MyBookie, because who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. David and I would only recommend a service to our listeners that have been good to us, and that's why we urge everybody to make their way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, which you would probably be a very rich person if you hit the over on Mitchell Trubisky for Sunday's game. And they have the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is currently slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best possible customer service. So if you're willing to wait and make your initial deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern, they're going to give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. All you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE, and use promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON, number 5, when creating your account to claim your $25 free play on deposits over $100 and to get your dollar for dollar bonus. You play, you win. You get paid. Bailey, what is kind of your key takeaway from this game, whether it be positive or negative? What's the number one thing that's going to stand out from this game for you?
Okay, I've been pretty negative so far, so let me go with a positive one. You already touched on it a little bit, but Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, I don't think I can even put into words what a pickup that was. Mm-hmm. Just through 4 games of the season, this guy is he's already like shown himself as the leader of the defense. Even in the fourth quarter, he's still running after the quarterback. He's getting back there. He's playing hard, not giving up, even though they're down by 135 points. I mean, just the effort from that guy. And it's not just the effort, but it's the results. I mean, he was the leading tackler on the team. He had the team's only sack, two tackles for loss. He's up to four sacks in four games. And I know we've been talking for such a long time about, you know, who's going to be the first guy to get 10 sacks since Simeon Rice, and I think it was 2005. And I think I said it last week in one of my articles. I think it was the top five players of the week. I said JPP's well on his way to being that guy that's going to get to double-digit sacks. And the Bucs haven't had that in so long. And it's so exciting to see him play and to see him play well, especially after, I mean, he's traded for a third-round pick, right? So he's wanting to prove that, you know, yeah, he's getting up there in age, but he still has a lot left. And it's very clear that he does. And he's given the Bucs everything he has, even down to the last minute where they're playing for literally nothing. I can't say enough about how impressed I've been with him through the first 4 weeks. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play more. You know, the rest of the season, he's somebody that I'll continue to watch closely.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, and I really love what he's brought to this team, and nobody's talking about him. That's the thing. You know, they mentioned on the broadcast that when he got that sack in the, I can't remember if it was the first quarter, I know it was the first half, that sack tied him with Khalil Mack for the most in the NFL. Now, of course, Mack went on to have a sack afterwards, so Mack is now back to number one. But everyone's been talking about what a monster Khalil Mack is, and he has been, and this isn't to take anything away from him. JPP has been an absolute monster for the Bucs, and nobody's talking about it. Granted, you know, when you get shellacked, you know, by a score of 78-37 over the course of the last two games, you're not going to get talked about for too many positive things. But Bailey, I think that was a great point. Before I give mine, I have to say that as we're recording this, just got a notification. Adam Schefter is reporting that OJ Howard will undergo an MRI on his knee today, as you're listening to this. The Bucs don't think that it's going to be a serious injury, but he is scheduled for an MRI, so that'll be something for us to keep our eyes on. My key takeaway is something that I mentioned in my Pick Six column, which should be out by the time you're listening to this, and unless you're listening at like midnight, right when it drops. Ronald Jones, first game that he was active, and I think that he played well. It was something that I said on the Bucs Nation Twitter account. You know, the game was well out of hand. And I said, you know what? Just give all the carries to Ronald Jones. Let him get that work in, because at that point, you're playing for the long term. You're not playing for that game anymore. That game was over. It was an L. Take it. Move on. But you were playing Jameis Winston to get him live in-game reps. Dirk Koetter said to the media during practice leading up to the game against the Bears that, you know, Jameis can look fine in practice, but practice is practice and game speed is game speed. There's a difference. So you have Winston in there to get acclimated before the bye and then going to Atlanta. And the same applied to Ronald Jones. Let him get those carries. Let him get that game experience, because the game is going to be different than practice. And by and large, aside from him getting blown up in the backfield because Ali Marpet just got flat out beat off the snap, you know, Rojo was running well. He was running with some confidence. You could see the confidence growing the more he touched the ball. He had that bad drop in the first quarter on the little swing pass from Fitzpatrick, but you could tell he was starting to get something going, and there were so many opportunities where he was just a fraction of a second away from being able to break something off, and he would get stopped with a shoestring tackle or just barely get tripped up. But you know, it was nice to see Ronald Jones running the way that he was. You know, that's not to say that I think he should start week six against the Falcons and take Peyton Barber's place, but there's definitely a spot in this offense for Ronald Jones. And he was showing that he was, you know, he looks like he's going to be worth that second round pick. And I like the way he's trending.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, if you look at the box score, you're not going to see anything that pops out to you as far as Ronald Jones' name goes. 10 carries, 29 yards. But if you're going back and watching what he actually did, he had those bursts like you were talking about. And I know, just going back to his first carry, I was excited to see him even in the game and see him dressed, because the first three games, I'm like, yeah, I understand why they're sitting him, but I would like to see him play. I want to see what he has. So just seeing him get in the game was exciting. And then, you know, right off the bat, he has a 5-yard run that, you know, he showed nice burst, got through the line, got kind of in the second level of the defense there. Of course, the drop came in the very next play. So a little bit of mixed initial plays for him was a little bit mixed. But, you know, overall, in his 10 carries, I thought he showed that he's obviously a good runner, and he's somebody that the Bucs will probably feature more as they go forward. I think they're kind of just easing him in at this point, because as far as keeping him inactive for the first three games, you know, that's the past is the past. And obviously they felt he was ready enough to have him active today. And I mean, I think he showed more than enough to give the coaches some confidence in him. Even coming back to catch another pass later, even though it was for a loss of one, but
he still caught it.
Yeah, he caught the ball. There you go. I mean, we're looking for the positives here, and I think he definitely had his moments where he was promising, and it's something that I think probably felt pretty good for some Bucks fans to see in a 38-point loss.
All right, David, what's kind of your key takeaway? Bailey and I both went positive. Are you gonna keep the positive upswing and try to lighten the mood of some angry and upset and bitter Bucks fans on a Monday morning, or are you gonna go back to the negative? It's up to you. I don't blame you either way.
So I'm gonna go outside of players themselves, and I'm actually gonna go to the coaching staff again. I think that this is the perfect time to go on a bye. The Buccaneers have had two really successful games where, you know, the offense and defense both at times looked really good. They had one not so good game where the defense struggled, but then they came back and responded. The offense struggled, but they came back and responded. And then they had this game. So they've got a whole lot of material to work with. So if there's any strategic bone in their body as far as adjusting what they're trying to do and kind of catering their game plan to who they're playing, they've got plenty of material that's good and bad. And the team's still 2-2, right? So it's not like we're on a sinking ship or anything like that right now. So there's still an opportunity to turn the last two games of struggle and this last embarrassment against the Bears into positive growth moving forward, because like you've already alluded to, and like we've been saying, this team is more than talented enough. And it's also, you know, going to give them another opportunity to get healthier. Vita Vea got, you know, his first NFL action. Ronald Jones got his first NFL action. So those rookies seeing how the NFL game speeds up in real life is extremely valuable. So when they come back to practice to prepare for the Falcons, now when they're being taught some of these things and they're discussing some of these schemes and these strategies, they can put some speed and some real life NFL hits to what's being said, which hopefully will have a benefit. That's kind of what I'm taking away from it is, you know, if this team was going up against the Falcons in 1 week, you know, my attitude would be a lot more negative. But because there's a week in between to take a breather, let the sting kind of wash away a little bit, come back and get back to business with Jameis Winston, with, you know, all your rookies on the field in practice. Hopefully we'll see good things when they come out of it.
You know what the best way to get this bad taste out of Bucks fans' mouths is going to be? And Bailey, I know you're going to be with me on this. David, any guesses?
Eating Skyline chili. I don't know.
No, but that would be a delicious taste in Bucks fans' mouths. No, it's going to be head down to Amalie Arena on Saturday and check out the season opener for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you can do so by visiting our friends over at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events that you want to go to. You can sort it by price, or you can look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders, $200 or more as a new customer. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Bailey, how excited are you for Lightning hockey?
More excited. I mean, I've been excited, but I'm even more excited after today's game. I think hockey might be the break we need next weekend.
Oh, for sure.
Of course, like David said, the Bucks are 2-2. It's not like they're on a sinking ship and they're it's all lost. But I think it's definitely a bad taste in people's mouths, and they're off next week, so they'll get a chance to you know, kind of reboot themselves. But I think fans are going to have that extra week to really
detox.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the ways they can do that is go check out the Lightning. And, you know, the Lightning are always fun to watch. So.
So, yeah, plenty of things to distract yourselves from a bad, bad loss. And before we get out of here real quick, let's go around the room again. Bailey, we're going to start with you again. What's the key major change that you're looking for over the course of this bye week before they play Atlanta, you know, scheme, player, coach? You know, what major thing are you looking for to feasibly happen? I mean, I realize people are going to say fire Mike Smith. I don't think that's going to happen. Honestly, I don't. But Bailey, if you believe it's going to happen, by all means, don't let me steal your thunder. But what's the one major thing that you're looking for?
I don't really think it's going to happen. So what I'm going to go with is I want to shift in mindset. I think this team needs to be more aggressive, both defensively, if that's Mike Smith or whoever the defense coordinator is, dialing up more blitzes. Because, I mean, you got to cover up for this youth in the secondary. And if it's dialing up more blitzes, doing whatever they can to get to the quarterback, you know, I want to see that. You know, offensively, we've seen a lot of aggressiveness, I think, as far as play calling goes. I think Todd Monken's done a great job. But when you're down 14-0, and I realize it was early in the game, but you're facing a 4th and 5 at the Bears 12. I would like to see them go for it there. Honestly, you take the field goal and go down 14-3. Your defense wasn't stopping anybody. So you go down 14-3, sure, you cut it to 11, but the Bears come right back and make it 21-3. And even at 21-3, it felt out of reach. So I think, you know, that 4th and 5, you know, show something. You know, you've got a chance there to get that first down, and, you know, either get that first down or you can go at the end zone, whatever. Instead, they were safe. They took, you know, Canton's arc, kicked a field goal, cool. But it didn't do much in the long run, obviously. So I think you see that with the Eagles. You know, they've been aggressive on fourth downs, you know, the last couple of years, and it's paid off. You know, for the most part, you see the numbers and it's working for them. And I guess it's just not Dirk Cutter's philosophy, but, you know, given the last 2 weeks, a couple times against the Steelers, he did the same thing. Given the last 2 weeks, I would like to see a little bit more of an aggressive mindset as far as, you know, fourth and short goes.
All right. David, how about you?
Very similar to what Bailey just said. So I'm really happy because it makes me feel like I'm smarter than I probably am. So, you know, so in football, right, we use a lot of military terms, right? You know, in the trenches and all that stuff, and got it. There's a military theory about winning battles, winning engagements, right? And and the theory is that you accomplish this by using speed, surprise, and violence of action. Now, in more recent years, it's been turned to aggressive action because, you know, it's more friendly, whatever. But I want violence of action. I want speed, surprise, and violence of action. And at the end of the day, the Buccaneers have so many weapons that it's almost like they don't know how to use them. Because, you know, it kind of dawned on me at one point that, let's say they brought like Evan Smith in, right, and put him in basically a tight end position, but in reality used him to help block Khalil Mack. That would probably give Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston or Ryan Griffin or whoever the Buccaneers quarterback is an extra, what, full second, maybe second and a half on most downs?
I would say half to 1 second.
Plenty of time, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of got to thinking about, like, so if you have 4 or 5 receiver eligible players, none of them blocking, and you have no time to throw the ball, what good does it do you? But if you use some of the players at your disposal and you have one fewer target to throw the ball to, but you've got a full second more to throw the ball, which one's going to be more effective? And the way I see it is it's going to be more effective to have a little bit more time. And it's going to be something that this team probably hasn't seen from you because they've never done it. So there's a little bit of your surprise, right? Speed. So on a very critical third down play, when the Bucs weren't out of it, a very convertible third down, one of the guys covering the game even talked about it. The Buccaneers had 4 receivers. 3 of them ran routes. It was a 3rd and 6 if my memory is correct. 3 of those receivers ran 15-yard routes or more. Okay. And the Bears covered it. The Bears were in deep coverage and they covered all 3 of those routes. The last route was Adam Humphries, who was lined up on the outside, on the wide side of the field, and he ran about an 8-yard in, and it took him so long to run his route versus the pass rush that by the time he came out of his break, Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't have a choice. The ball was out. The play was over. Like there was absolutely zero chance that Adam Humphries was going to catch that ball. So speed, get the ball out, get the routes in. When Jameis Winston first came in that first possession, right? He started 4 for 4 or 5 for 5?
4 for 4, 3 to Humphries, 1 to Bray.
Right. And the ball was moving and they were all quicker passes, right? Because the Bears were playing off. And the theory I'm guessing, right, from Coach Monken was, well, James is just coming in. Let's break the rust. Let's give him some easy throws, whatever, whatever. It was working. When did the interception happen? On a deep shot. Let's get the ball downfield. Let's get the receivers downfield and let's try to hit them deep and make a big play. And that's when the interception happened. Why? Because Jameis Winston didn't have time to sit there and let those routes develop. His arm got hit by Khalil Mack and the rest is history. I understand that Coach Monken likes the big plays, and I know he said this in a press conference not too long ago about the chunk plays and all that stuff. We all love big plays. Everybody loves big plays. ESPN loves big plays. NFL.com does. It gets you on the highlights. Gets Deshaun Jackson on NFL Network. Gets Ryan Fitzpatrick all blinged out. Got it. Fantastic. Take what the defense is giving you. The Bears came out looking to defend 15 yards and deeper. So start throwing the ball 5 to 8 yards. And you're going to move the ball. You may not move it in chunk plays, but you're going to move the ball. And then when you start seeing, I mean, I feel like this is football 101. And then when you see these young corners, these young safeties who have shown the ability to get burned, start creeping up or playing more aggressive, you hit them with a double move or you hit them with a quick slant to Deshaun Jackson, and he takes the 60 yards for a touchdown. This isn't difficult. So there's your speed. And then violence of action. This team is soft. All right. They were soft against New Orleans. They were soft against Philly. They were soft against Pittsburgh. They were soft against Chicago. Now, the first two games, it worked. I got it. And believe me, if you can play soft and win, then fine. I'm not going to complain, right? Which is why I didn't. I tend to prefer the style of play that teams like Pittsburgh kind of tend to usually bring to the field. There's a more physical aspect of football. But at the end of the day, I just care about my team winning. That's great. But when you're playing soft and you're losing, nobody's going to respect this team. And it brought me back to, was it last year or the year before, where Dirk Cutter said he wanted to make this a badass football team? This is not a badass football team. You've got a few badass players. Like Quan Alexander can lay the lumber on someone. Vontae David is great at getting fumbles and getting to places that he probably shouldn't be able to get. Justin Evans has moments of brilliance. Gerald McCoy is the best get off in the league. God, you've got some badass players, but the overall tempo of the team is soft, and it needs to stop, or else they need to bring in a coaching staff that's not going to be soft, because this coaching staff is not making them harder. Lovie Smith didn't make them harder. Go back, through the lineage all the way back to John Gruden. Nobody has made this team hard since the days of Tony Dungy and the early years of John Gruden, and it needs to go back, because Bucks, at least, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but Bucks football is not supposed to be friendly, shake your hand, lay you down in the ground like that video of the woman wearing the Aaron Rodgers jersey and hope that we get the win. It's you come in there, I'm going to take the win, and we're going to come into your house and we're going to take over. So that's kind of what I want to see coming out of the break. Violence.
I don't even know how to follow that up. Good heaven. That was... David, that was probably a top three rant you've had since we've been since we've been podcasting.
I enjoyed every second of that.
I appreciate it. It just takes losses.
I'll tell you what, to bounce off of one of the things that you mentioned, the big change that I want to see isn't with the Bucks. It's with Bucks Twitter. And you were talking about how Winston started off that drive 4 for 4. He might have been 5 for 5. His first incompletion, technically, was the interception.
Right.
Yeah, he was perfect on that drive. And the mentions that I was getting, Winston is garbage. Why does he always only throw it to Humphries? Are you kidding me? Because that's what the defense is giving him. I understand Bucks Twitter being upset. I understand them being disappointed. I understand them feeling like they got kicked in the gut, but I've never experienced such a negative place ever than Bucks Twitter when they're losing, because then even when something is going right, like Winston going 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 or whatever it was, there was still complaining. Well, why aren't they doing this? Somebody had gotten in the mentions. Is Deshaun Jackson hurt? No, he's not hurt. He has a catch with Winston. He got another one shortly after somebody had tweeted that to me. And it's like, no, but the Bears are playing with basically four safeties. They're not going to give up the deep ball. They're not going to give up a spark. Everything has to be underneath, and that's where Adam Humphries is, and he's open. They're taking it. The major key change that I'm looking for is for Bucks fans to stop going 0 to 150 in 1.2 plays. Just everybody relax. Everyone was upset on Sunday. The players were more upset and the coaches were more upset than anybody on Twitter was. But just relax for a minute. Take a deep breath. Take a step back. Again, this is a team that every expert, every brilliant NFL mind, everyone that gets paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to have their face seen on television and they have their blue check mark on Twitter and Facebook and whatever, said this team was going to be 0-3. And again, 45 days ago, if Bucks fans were told that after the first quarter of the season, they were going to be 2-2 headed into the bye, most Bucks fans would have been like, you know what? I'm all right with that. Could they have been 3-1? Yes. Should they have been 3-1? Yes. Whether it's the Pittsburgh game or whether it's, you know, the fact that they just flat out did not play football against the Chicago Bears, those games should have been winnable. So relax. Again, not a sinking ship. This is not the Titanic, even though somebody decided to say that on their post-game radio show. Just relax. Here's the bye week. Regroup, refocus, get the job done in Atlanta, where Jameis Winston as a starting quarterback is undefeated. I think that's going to do it for us. I know we've probably run way over on time, and David, you have some editing ahead of you to fit this into a normal episode. Bailey, buddy, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me, even though, you know, under the circumstances, it wasn't the most fun to talk about, but enjoyed it as always.
All right. Make sure you're checking out everything that the three of us are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at BaileyJAdams22. Make sure you're sending in your voicemails. We have a bye week coming up. David and I have plenty of content to fill. We're going to go a little voicemail heavy on a couple of these episodes. Get your questions in, get your comments in, you know, send in your reactions, whatever you need to do. Call in 813-444-5841. Please try to keep these between 30 seconds and 1 minute. And if you can, leave your Twitter handle at the end so that if you win that autographed Quan Alexander jersey, we know how to track you down. Thanks so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks. Chain, I leave soft in the brain.